The only thing I will add is that my first set of degrees were in education, so schools are a passion of mine. We are all required to read this statement to you. Dr. Jeanette Quarles and the research team had no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation during the last 12 months. Many of you are aware that obesity is a great concern, and especially in ages 6 to 11, the rates have quadrupled since 1970. And this next slide illustrates, in the yellow line, the increases in child obesity, and the interesting simultaneous decrease in the green line in the rates of children that are walking and biking to school. Many families cannot or will not, however, purposely pursue exercise by sacrificing time or money. Therefore, opportunities to increase physical activity through normal daily routines can be very useful. And for children, the walk to and from school is a normal daily routine. Even in areas that are determined and generally agreed to be walkable, however, parents continue to have concerns for their children's safety in walking to school. But their own work schedules or other life situations prevent them from personally escorting the child in the walk to school, but they have indicated that they would allow their child to walk if an adult chaperone were available. So for the purpose of my doctoral dissertation research, I recruited all schools, all public schools, in Oklahoma that were planning to implement a walking school bus during the 2009-2010 school year. And for the purpose of this research, I defined a walking school bus as an adult chaperoned walk to school program that follows the same route every day with a specific starting and ending point. I evaluated the neighborhood walkability, the physical activity levels of the children, both in the active commute and in their recreational playtime, and evaluated pre and post body mass index in both the children who walked and in the control group. The study design was quasi-experimental in that the only feature it lacked being an experimental study was randomization. We determined it was not reasonable to randomize a family to a transportation choice. So there are studies that have randomized schools, and I'll discuss a little bit later why we chose, or why I chose, not to do that. Since the choice to walk was made by the participants, that choice was very crucial to the study, evaluating what affected that choice. So we looked at all the contributors as well as barriers to an active commute in terms of the neighborhood walkability, safety concerns, and other factors such as parents' work schedules, etc. We did look at the distance that the children walked as well as how often they walked and the relationship that that had with their weight. Looked at the confounders of the recreational physical activity time and the opinions that the parents may have had that may have differed for their child walking to school versus playing outdoors. For instance, at what temperature would they consider it too cold for the child to play outside? Was that different from the parents' opinion of when it was too cold to walk to school? Ended up with 1,102 total participants that were ages 5 to 12. Discussed the fact that we had the concurrent control group. Those were the students that were driven to the schools. The participants were the students that walked or biked to school during the school year. Choosing to have the control group within the same school meant that the children in the control group were exposed to the same opportunities as the children that walked or biked, not only in terms of the opportunity to walk, but also they attended the same recess periods. They were exposed to the same messages from their classroom teachers in terms of health, good and bad. They were exposed to the same foods in the cafeteria. They were exposed to the same amount of physical activity in their PE classes, etc. So we felt like we had a stronger study design going quasi-experimental, actually, than we would have if it had been an experimental design. With the results, we actually had 39.8% of the students that walked or biked to school with this provision of the adult chaperone. The national average is 5 to 14%, so dramatic increase. And the BMI was also dramatically impacted during this study. This next slide looks only at the obesity and overweight impact. In the right-hand column, you'll see that the control group, obesity and overweight, increased by 2.5% during that school year. And in the children that walked or biked to school, obesity and overweight decreased by 5.6%. Of the 65 students that were obese or overweight that walked or biked to school at the beginning of the school year, you can see that 15 moved to a healthy weight during the course of one school year. 14 of those 15 had been classified as overweight at the beginning of the school year, so only one student moved all the way from an obese weight category to healthy weight in the course of one school year. You would suppose, all factors remaining the same, that they might continue along the same path of improving body weight. So this next slide looks at improvement to a healthier weight category. So it includes the students that had been obese at the beginning of the school year and improved to an overweight category. And there the results are dramatic. 22 students that had been overweight moved to who had been obese moved to an overweight category. So with looking at the children that made an improvement to a healthier weight category, of every 6 children that walked or biked to school, 1 case of overweight or obesity was prevented. Both distance and frequency of the walk to school was statistically significant, both in its association and correlation with BMI, but distance did prove to be more important. It demonstrated a stronger correlation than frequency, which is significant when you realize that the provision of an adult chaperone allowed the children to walk farther. Overcoming distance, which for many families is the reason why their children have not been allowed to walk or bike to school. The children that walked with an adult chaperone walked an average of 65% farther than the children that walked independently. The children that walked independently without an adult averaged 2/3 of a mile, whereas those children that walked as a part of the walking school buses averaged 1.9 tenths of a mile. 9/10, almost a tenth. And measures of the recreational physical activity also demonstrated a statistically significant association with BMI, which you would hope and expect the more that they played, the more sports teams they participated in, that should show an impact with BMI. But what was important to this study is after we controlled for that, the active commute did continue to demonstrate a statistically significant association with BMI. There was not a statistically significant association between the active commute and the measures of recreational physical activity. They were independent of one another, and this is an indicator that the students that walked and biked to school were not the students that were already more physically active. So the walking school bus was an opportunity to provide some more inactive students a chance for some physical activity. In that parent chaperone, we asked the parents what was the most important factor that allowed their children to walk or bike to school, and half the parents reported it was the adult chaperone. the primary barrier to and those students who were driven to school was just the fact that they live too far, which is a completely different study, looking at school siting or something. So distance does remain a significant barrier, but only 32% of the parents continue to report a concern about safety. Looking at the real-world application of this study, we did not go into these schools with a research team, bringing all of our personnel and a lot of money and implementing a program and then leaving and hoping that it would continue. These were programs that were implemented by the schools and completely run, staffed. Everything was done by the schools. Our team had no impact on their walking school bus whatsoever. So that should contribute to the generalization and replication of these results for other schools, and the fact that this is a program that's very simple, very feasible, sustainable, and is demonstrating effectiveness. The walking school bus has the potential for a big bang for virtually no bucks. It uses existing school personnel or community volunteers. It's a very simple strategy. And also very important to someone with a school background, it does not interfere with class instruction time. In this study, we realized through all of our analyses that the provision of an adult chaperone was sufficient to allow younger children to walk to school. More kindergartners were allowed to walk, as opposed to it was the older students that had been allowed to walk independently without an adult chaperone previously. Disabled students were able to walk with an adult chaperone. More little girls were allowed to walk. Those with physically inactive lifestyles, it overcame distance and other environmental factors, and it overcame significant parental safety concerns, therefore significantly increasing the percentage of children that actively commuted to school and significantly decreasing the BMI. I would therefore recommend that schools should recruit adult chaperones for routes, and I would prioritize first emphasizing the areas and neighborhoods that have high concentrations of students, especially apartment complexes, and looking at any routes that the children may encounter that have environmental barriers, having to cross a bridge that doesn't have a safe pathway, or having to walk alongside some body of water, things like that, that parents might be concerned about allowing a small child to walk independently to school. The only materials that might be needed for a walking school bus is a brightly colored vest for the adult chaperone and possibly a handheld stop sign to help them cross the street. And this, for your information, is just two websites that have the full dissertation, the full report posted if you would like more details. You want to do questions now or hold them for the end?
Maybe we can have a couple of questions. Yes, please.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for your presentation. In Nashville, I ran the Child Health Week initiative for the Davidson County area, mm-hmm. and we had a big Child Health Week and Walk to School Day event. We mm-hmm. had the band and the mayor and lots of teachers were involved. So my two-part question. One, you mentioned adult weeks to participate. Were there any teachers that were involved in kind of either, you know, walking with the students or encouraging them in the classroom, you know, hey, you talk to the parents and tell them to walk, trust the kids, tell them to walk?
The majority of the schools used school personnel as the adult chaperone. In some schools where no school personnel was available, they recruited through the PTA, recruited community volunteers to serve as the adult chaperone. So there's a mix out there.
And would the PTA also be the ones recruiting the crossing guards that, I guess, could be also used to have the vests and the stop signs? So instead of just sitting in their chair and helping them cross, they could actually be a hub meeting point and then walk with the kids.
that has been discussed. Also, the fact that some bus routes that are in place within walking distance but are in place only to overcome an environmental barrier, using those bus drivers as the chaperone. Yes, ma'am.
You showed some quite dramatic increases compared to the rest of the nation. Do you think that that's potentially because of the newness of the program, or can you discuss any more?
A lot of that has to do with workload, and I think some of the studies that have come out are assuming a shorter walk distance. The children in this study walked an average over a mile. And that any workload increase is going to result in an increased impact on BMI. So I think that's one of the major factors.
Have a progressively shorter school bus route, so they have to go a little further each time, and, you know, have this bus driver walk with them a little bit further each time. And who knows? Other questions?
Yes.
Was the frequency 5 days a week, or has there been any... Did you explore, or did the school, do you know, explore starting the program at like 2 days a week and increasing the interval because of the volunteer participation?
One of the schools in this study only walked 1 day a week, and that really was kind of a boon for the our analyses, because we were able to look at several factors, the difference in those. And even that 1 day a week, some of those children were walking the farthest distances. It was a rural school, the only school that served an entire community. And it was still dramatic, the impact. So yes, any place that you can start.
And can you describe briefly who spearheaded the work in each of these schools with the walking school bus? Because they were new programs for this that you were measuring, right?
Yes. One of them was at the, well, one was at the district level, and one was a community volunteer that spearheaded. So again, there was a mix as to who spearheaded it in each community. There were other schools that planned to implement programs but could not for various reasons. Another factor that you mentioned, kind of alluded to, also there were schools that were not included in this, but schools that started dropping their children off, having the school buses drop their children off at the point of the walking school bus and allowing them to walk.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question. Was there any policies that the schools had implemented about weather, what they were supposed to do in regards?
If it was lightning or icy to the point that it just absolutely was not safe to walk, they did not walk. And looking at the disabilities, my background had been special education, so that was part of the reason why I was looking at the opportunities for disabled children to walk. What I had not considered was disabled parents. And there was a child, a kindergarten little girl, whose mother was blind. And the walking school bus volunteer made sure that she went and picked that child up and took her to school every day when the walking school bus was not able to be implemented. And we actually had a horrible winter during that school year, and I was very concerned about the results that we might have impacting BMI.
Thank you.